on Monday by police officers who are seeking to demonstrate their support for a convict by the name of Johannes Meselin. I have never heard of a police department or its membership seeking to have a rally for a convicted felon.
Right.
In this instance, Johannes Meselin is a convicted felon. But some might recall that when he shot Oscar and spent the first few days in Santa Rita jail, that the police chief of BART sent a letter out to the rest of BART PD seeking their financial and emotional support for Johannes Meselin. So when we question whether or not his investigation through the Internal Affairs Department of BART was decent and done in a professional manner, the real answer right off the top was no. He was too busy asking us to send money to Santa Rita, not us, them, asking them to send money to Santa Rita jail so that Johannes Meselin could get some extra candy bars and get extra toilet tissue and get extra soap. Well, if that were the mindset of the chief of police at that time, then we already knew that his investigation of Johannes Meselin as a murderer was tainted. Now, we move this forward 20 months or 19 months. And now that Johannes Meselin, who was defended by the police union attorney, who represents the California State Peace Officers Association, his name is Michael Raines. And even though Johannes Meselin quit his job, they did not direct him to quit until the union first secured for an officer their best attorney, who is the attorney of record in this case by the name of Michael Raines. Well, why is this significant? Well, now that there's a rally being held in Walnut Creek, yes, police officers have the freedom of speech. I guess that's what Tony Peroni was hurling at Oscar when he threw racial epithets at him. That was police officer freedom of speech. But off duty, they've got every right to gather and meet and do what they want. But what is it that they want? To have a rally to demonstrate support for a convicted felon. Which of us is convicted of a felony and the police have a rally in our defense? I never heard of one. And there have been many people that have been wrongly convicted and have never had the police to have a rally to protect them. There have been people, and there are people right now as a result of DNA evidence that are being revealed to have been incarcerated for 20 years while innocent. But in the case of Geronimo Pratt, here a member of the Black Panther Party spent 27 years incarcerated while innocent. And when he got out, there was no rally of police officers calling out for justice for Geronimo Pratt, Jijaga. Well, that's simply to offer. When have you ever heard of the police rallying for a convicted felon? There have been women. One sister in Texas, I think, befriended a dope dealer and they couldn't get him on charges, so they convicted her and she spent some 20 years for something that she never did. The only thing she was guilty of was having a relationship with a man that was alleged to have been in the dope world. Well, it took them 20, 25 years to let her out. Bill Clinton signed the pardon over that she would be released from incarceration after spending year after year after year. And in her case, there were no Texas police officers crying out for justice for her being incarcerated without just cause. But now, here Johannes Meselin. He hasn't even been given a sentence yet. And the sentencing possibilities for him vary.
That's right.
They vary. There's no guarantee that when sentencing date arrived that he will spend another day in jail. He could potentially arrive on the new sentencing date of November the 5th, which we should know and understand that the judge offered the family, not the family, pardon me, offered the defense. The judge didn't offer the family anything. I don't know if the judge said to the family when it was done. I do know because we walked out together, didn't we?
Yeah.
The judge didn't come and say to the family, good luck to you. God bless. Have a nice summer. Anything like that? Judge didn't say that. But the judge looked at the defense attorney when he offered dates for sentencing. He said, Mr. Raines, how about July such and such? How about August so-and-so? How about August so-and-so? Open up his calendar, well, I have a date in September. Raines had no preference. So the judge said, fine, August the 6th. That's how that date was arrived at. So for Mr. Raines to come back after a date was established and then request another date, and the judge not only accept the request, but he pushes the date back, how many months is that?
3-4 months.
He pushes the date back 4 months and then goes into the public arena, not only attacking the family. Listen to this attorney. He called Brother Bobby mean spirited.
Wow.
I heard Brother Bobby ran track. If he was mean-spirited, he would have ran up and down that man's behind in anger. Is that right? At the courthouse on any given day, and I don't think he could have outrun you. You with me now? He had the records. Triple jump. Okay. Now, my point here is mean-spirited because Raines gave the asinine advice to his client. See, the problem was he gave his client the advice to write that letter to the public.
That's right.
And rather than say, his client wasn't going to do nothing on his own because he hadn't done anything on his own up to this point. He hadn't even cried on his own. He only cried on command. We all saw it in the courtroom.
Right.
So he didn't write a letter of apology on his own. He wrote at the behest of his attorney, and Raines came out and said it. I told him to write that letter. Well, Mr. Raines, you were wrong. You should have told him to write a letter on January, whatever day you became his attorney. He should have, on that day, said to his client, you've killed somebody that you claim, at least I claim, you didn't mean to kill. You should say something publicly. But more importantly, to the person and family that have lost their loved one. He didn't do that. Mezzali hasn't done anything on his own. So when that letter was revealed, that was revealed at the behest of a $1 million lawyer. He just miscalculated. He either miscalculated or he's trying to stir up political support in hope that there'll be the others out there to support his man's cause. That's why they're having a rally. Now, if I were to pull it up on my phone on Facebook, I've never seen, we've done many rallies. We've been having town halls now for 19 months. I've never seen as much publicity for anything that we've done than has gone into this Monday so-called pep rally for Johannes Mezzali support. I've never seen, every day, they even going on the news and telling you how many people have accepted the invitation. You can look at it on Facebook. You can see the invitation list. And I hope you're not one that accepted. I already know that you're not. But there are certainly, there's some names on there that I thought were very interesting. I'm on Facebook. That's how we tell everybody about our meetings. We didn't send out a Facebook alert this week, just due to time and crunches of whatnot. But I looked on there, and one of the names is Mezzali. So evidently, the Mezzali family may be present at this rally. One of the names is Ahern, A-H-E-R-N. Mr. Ahern is the Alameda County Sheriff. Now, those that have followed the town halls may remember that months ago, before the venue was changed, as we were going into the courtroom and the bailiffs in Alameda County Courthouse were very harsh on young black men, especially Oscar's friends, that when they came into the courtroom, they were being thrown out for things like chewing gum. When you got judges and lawyers chewing gum. For whispering, and there's press people whispering throughout the entire proceeding. One of Oscar's friends coughed, and the bailiff threw him out of the courtroom and would not allow him back in the courtroom for coughing. Not some exacerbated, I'm coughing because you're lying on the witness stand type cough. You know, you can do that. This was dry throat, hot day, cough. The bailiff became angry and threw Oscar's friends out. So we went and saw the sheriff before the venue was changed out of the county, and the sheriff told us his worst nightmare. And the thing he never wanted to see happen was for this trial to be held in Alameda County. Maybe he didn't want to see a murder conviction. And when we looked at him, we couldn't even get a chance to ask him why. He pointed out his window at five protesters who posted up outside the county building nearly every day that there was a hearing. But it's five people with some banners in their hand. And while we certainly appreciate the work of those activists, to consider that a sheriff believes that there cannot be a safe trial here because of five people on the corner is ludicrous. It doesn't even make sense. But when I looked on that Facebook list and saw that man's name, I don't know if it's really his name. I don't know if somebody using his name. Maybe he has a junior. I don't know. But I'm looking at the name of the Alameda County Sheriff as being one that accepted the invitation to go to this rally in support of Johannes Mezzali. Where will I be that day? Probably not there. And you can do what you want. But I just don't see that one. You ever been a victim of racial profiling? Where do OPD officers live? Where do Barton officers live? They're out in these areas. So the Walnut Creek Sheriff, or Police Chief, I'm not sure what his title is,
Chief,
is expressing their desire to keep it safe out there and to give everyone an opportunity to exercise their freedom of speech. But we want you to know while we respect the freedom of speech, we cannot respect anyone that would further the pain and anguish on the Grant family by celebrating, by celebrating and requesting the freedom of a murderer who's already gotten off easier than he deserves. The system has already granted him more ease than he's ever earned. The man has been convicted of a felony. I would say to those officers that are rallying for the support of that felon, why don't they come to East Oakland and rally for the support of all of these that they locked up? So as these moments approach, our organizing continues. We don't see the conviction of Johannes Mezzali for involuntary manslaughter as the end of a struggle. Is really the beginning of a new one. And you may have read in multiple releases that Congressperson Barbara Lee has gone very public about her request for the Department of Justice to engage this case. I learned from an elected official on yesterday that they've been engaged far longer than we know. And that is simply to offer that we're very grateful that with our brother in the presidency, that it appears that the Department of Justice is moving a little more swiftly. You might have heard that a few days ago, the Department of Justice brought charges against, I believe, four or more police officers in New Orleans for crimes they committed during Hurricane Katrina. And the problem in Hurricane Katrina for black people was, as we posed the question with Oscar on the day of the verdict, what's the value of black life? At Hurricane Katrina, when black people were seen trying to survive, they were called looters. When white people were out doing the same thing black folks were doing, and that is going into stores for food, for water, for clothing, for things to survive with, they were said to be survivors. They were looking for water to survive. But black people going in the same stores were called looters and thieves. On that wise, when the verdict was announced and the rallies ended and some stores were unfortunately vandalized, imagine putting on the cover of the newspapers the pictures of people who stole tennis shoes on camera. Oscar Grant was killed on camera. His killer should have been convicted for murder. But now these that have stolen, how many people in a city with shopping areas are caught shoplifting on camera per day? There are many people caught shoplifting on camera that you don't find the police department politicizing their theft and making it a front page story. Wanted. Reward offered for the man that took these tennis shoes. Is that really a proper use of city resources? Now, as broke as they claim to be in city government, do they really have the time and the resource to waste putting a picture of a young man running up the street with two left shoes? That's what they've done. Now, when you see that, you're looking at poor, desperate people. That's what you're looking at. Not that it's justified, it's not. But for the government to waste that kind of time, energy, and effort with what they call looters. And by the way, they say, well, everybody that produced this problem came from out of town. I didn't see no out-of-towners pictures in the paper.
Right.
I saw Pookie and Ray Ray.
Yeah.
K-Dog and T-Bone. I saw my brother from the hood.
Yeah.
Who, when maybe somebody from out of town broke the window in.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That Pookie and Ray Ray saw easy access. And accessed, which is not right, it's not good. But how did that become front page news for days? And while they're continuing to attempt to lay the burden of some of those crimes on the Grant family and on the activists that either traveled or lived here to secure justice in the murder of Oscar Grant, they would waste the people's money on such foolishness as this. And so, sisters and brothers, we want to be very clear that our struggle is not over, it's really just begun. We hope to soon, once we can find the families of Oscar's friends, as well as the family itself, and those responsible parties that can help facilitate the journey to justice. The Department of Justice doesn't have to find us, we'll find them. and we are willing to find them in every venue. The world really needs to know the suffering endured by the friends of Oscar on the platform that night. All of their rights were violated.
Right.
Oscar lost the ultimate right. As the ultimate right we all live with is the right to life.
Yes.
But his friends all lost something of their own hearts.
Right.
When they watched their friend murdered by those with the authority who are paid to protect their lives. In fact, one of Oscar's friends testified, I think Carlos, you were supposed to protect us. And he cried out from the witness stand, I thought you were supposed to protect us. You're supposed to be, it would be either Jackie or Carlos. Between the two of them, they cleared up why they weren't really open for speaking to the BART police, because they got on the train believing they could trust a relationship with the police. But when the police brutalized them and murdered Oscar, they didn't know what to think of this relationship with the police. Yet, as pained as they were, they still submitted themselves to every instruction and interview that the police requested. They could not have represented a better citizen in the country than they did on that day. In the least, it could be said that they used a few choice words when they were angry about being brutalized and watching their friend murdered. But I hear a few choice words every day.
Right.
Don't you?
Yeah, man.
You hear a few choice words in the supermarket. Some parents use a few choice words with their children. So we don't need to moralize what words they used when the police were brutalizing them. They were in that moment in a fight for their lives. And to prove that they were in a fight for their lives, their best friend was killed. So this was no over-exaggeration on their behalf. If they cursed at a police officer, and by the way, cursing at a cop is not against the law. The only thing that they could have been accused of is a street law. They call it contempt of cop. Police officers often exercise a street law called contempt of cop. That is, that if they don't like your attitude, they treat you more harshly. And when you respond to the harshness of their treatment, then they arrest you for resisting arrest. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not under arrest. You are now. And because I don't like your dialogue, I'm arresting you for resisting arrest. And if I put a submission hold on your wrist, and you don't let me break your wrist, then I further arrest you for resisting arrest. And oh, by the way, you bruised my knuckles with your jaw. So I'm arresting you for resisting arrest. These are street justice by police officers that were testified to, by the way. Called contempt of cop. It's not in the city's law book. It's in the cop's mind. So as we are awaiting further intervention by the Department of Justice, be clear, we don't believe in waiting. We're not going to just sit back and wait. It took 5 years to secure the proper response in New Orleans. Perhaps that's because under the Bush administration, he would not direct his Department of Justice to look into the unjust murders of black people. And perhaps under the Obama administration, under a black attorney general, they found fit to at least look into. And within a few months' time, proper charges are being determined in that instance. And so we will continue to organize to make sure the Department of Justice actually meets those that have suffered. That this is not simply a made-for-television event that can be investigated through television cameras. But again, I'm told by pretty accurate sources, and I did meet while in Los Angeles in a town hall meeting like this, a representative of the Department of Justice. So they certainly have done their part to this point. But we want to make sure that all that must be done is done, because what we're looking at is not simply whether or not Johannes Mezeli gets 14 years. We're not satisfied. What about Tony Perrone? Who hurled racial epithets and brutalized people and has not been charged by anybody. He lost his job at BART, but it's not clear that he lost his job for what he did as much as having lost his job for what he said. And what he said that lost him his job wasn't necessarily the racial epithets. It may well have been that he testified opposite the video. So that BART could not justify keeping a clear liar on its payroll. Same would be true for Marisol Domenici, the other officer that lost her job. She didn't lose her job for what was done necessarily to Oscar Grant. As much as anything else, she lost her job for lying. And when the video proved her to be a liar, then they fired her. Well, question. When does a liar reach the point of perjury? Lawyers and judges answer those questions. You can lie in court and not be considered having perjured yourself. It really has to do with how material your comments are to the case itself. They only threaten black people with, if you lie in court, you go to jail. But with their own, they lie every day. You know, like, have you seen the tobacco industries testify before Congress? And they sit down and they say, we don't have any evidence that smoking leads to cancer. You've seen them do that, right? Sometimes these are smokers with cancer doing the talking. This is how deep their lie is. You can have a cancer patient speaking that caught lung cancer from smoking. But in order to keep that big paycheck rolling, they come in front of the Congress and they lie. Now, the point here is that perjury should have been considered with Domenici and Perrone. With Perrone, they should have considered assault and battery. He did both. So now, as this thing is unfolding, there's greater and greater support now raising for the call for justice for the murder of Oscar Grant. And we really want to thank all of the activists that have kept the word out front. And the demand here in the room. Brother Bobby has, come on up, Brother Bobby, garnered the support of some of the Bay Area union activists and others whom he'd like to share with us. Yes, sir.
I'd just like to ask you a question, because yes, someone's been speaking, you know, I've been hearing some words like, why should we go to war on that creek? I mean, could we just chew on that for a second?
I didn't say whether or not you should go.
Right, but
I said, I'm not going.
What would be wrong with some of us going in there with the Oscar Grant t-shirts and signs?
I didn't say there was anything wrong with it.
Everything would be wrong with it. I think that they have a right, I apologize for speaking up.
Yep.
If they have a right to assemble, and they do, people have a right to assemble and express their opinion, I don't think that those who are in disagreement with that should go and agitate the situation. It's going to agitate. Just showing up is going to agitate.
But let me say that
I promise you that.
There are varying opinions from many over how to respond. Some of our activist community is preparing an organized response. And organization is critical. The last thing that any would want is a chaotic situation of people angry on both sides of the line without any direction and purpose. So those that are organizing, you're free. But organize and be careful, knowing that that's like being invited into a prison. Now, I've been in prison. Not as a resident. But I've been in prison. And there are times you go in there, you've got to be exceedingly alert. And I would imagine on that day, anybody that should travel there would want to be exceedingly alert.
Right.
Don't drive out there with no tags on your car. Make sure you have your ID.
Right.
Not, by the way, it's in that area that they were doing the open carry weapon.
Right.
The folks were walking in the Starbucks strapped, and the police wouldn't bother them. Where, you know, we could not walk anywhere in Oakland with an open weapon and the police not bother you. Well, those are the areas where the open weapon carry movement is based. So you should really know where you are. The Tea Party crew is meeting in those areas. So not that you should be afraid, we fear none but God, but that you should be wise about your motion, your plans, and your actions. I don't feel that I would want to dignify these people. What did that Wanda say at the first? You guys? She said, you guys, or these people, you guys, I don't want to dignify them guys with a debate from me. Now, we will listen to what is said, and we may respond to what is said. But there's some people that you don't need to waste your time talking to. I think Jesus had a controversy with some people like that. And he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They said, how say you we be made free? We've never been held in bondage to any man. And then they started wrangling. And Jesus said, if Abraham were your father, you would be found doing the works of Abraham. Then they wrangled some more. And Jesus stopped. Okay. The truth has no place in you. I know you. You are of your father, not my father. What did you say, Pastor? Say it again, Pastor. I didn't say it. Pastor said the devil. It would not serve me well to speak in Antioch, not me. In fact, I had a hard time speaking at the press conference. A man tried to moralize the broken window.
Right.
He had no moral outrage for the loss of life and had all this moral outrage about the tennis shoes at the Foot Locker. What's the value of our lives? It is immoral to take life and stand on that. Stand there first. There's no equivalence between human life and some tennis shoes. So while I'm sure there are many that are planning to go to Antioch to respond effectively, pardon me, same thing. Mm-hmm. Are they next door?
Right.
You're in Antioch.
It's a blur.
It's a blur in the line. I mean, I don't know the difference one from the next. They all look the same to me. But when you're in that area, you should be mindful. We should be organized. You shouldn't travel alone. If you're on the barge, you really would want to go in a secure way. And do things in a way that's most reasonable. But I'm sure that there'll be voices from the community.
And yes. If it's any consolation to any of you, as a press person, I am going. And I will bring you the news at 11. And then you get to see what happens.
Take your ID.
Oh, yeah.
Check
yeah.
your tags.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure your shoestrings are tied.
Without a doubt.
That could be a ticket. But Brother Bobby has been working with other groups, including union activists, that are bringing their support to the cause. And so I want to give Brother, he's not feeling well, so listen real carefully.
Yeah.
Don't make him shout.
Thank you. So yeah, I'm not feeling too well, but just quickly, I'm not going to Walnut Creek, because we know who they are, and chances are they're going to say something really negative that I'm not going to like to hear.
Right.
And I will leave myself acting in a way they'll have, give them the right to incarcerate me. So I'm going to stay in some peaceful ground and try to have a peaceful day, and I'm going to watch it on the news when you share it. So, but there's something that is going, you know, but like Minister Muhammad said too, you know, it truly needs to be an organized matter. You know, of course, it is our hope that nothing occurs, and we don't hear another human being, like Oscar said, but he looked up at Johannes Wesley and said, "You shot me. You shot me." You know what I'm saying? So we don't want to hear that.
We don't want to
hear anyhow.
No.
Yeah. Well, recently what has just happened is that Jack Hayman, who's with the Longshoremen Union over in San Francisco, invited us over to talk to the union there. They was having a meeting. And he had shared with us that the executive board granted the union the right to rally, protest, strike for the Justice of Oscar Grant cause. And that what they needed was a voting process that had to at least get 150 members to say yes. So, you know, Jack and I showed up. It was about 200 members there, 250 members. And we spoke to them, shared a little bit about Oscar. And they basically shared this, what I'm going to share with you. This is Local 10 motion on the verdict in the Oscar Grant case. Whereas Oscar Grant killer, Bar Police Officer Johannes Mesley, received a verdict of involuntary manslaughter on July 8, 2010. And whereas videotapes show clearly that Oscar Grant was laying face down on the Fruitvale BART platform, waiting to be handcuffed with another cop boot, with another cop's boot on his neck, posing no threat when he was shot in the back and killed in cold blood by Mesley. And whereas this is just another example of the racist justice system where police officers go free for killing young black men. And whereas the Contra Costa Times reported that police are holding a rally in Walnut Creek on July 19, 2010 to show support for the killer cop, so his sentence will only be a slap on the wrist. And whereas the ILWU has always stood for social justice. Therefore, be it resolved that the labor movement organized a mass protest rally September 15, 2010, with the participation from the community groups, civil rights organizations, civil liberties organizations, and all who stand for social justice demand jail for killer cops. That local 10 delegates to the Bay Area Labor Council are directed to raise the above motion at their next meeting. So this was the motion that they put on the floor to their members to raise, to get a consensus on should they do this or not. And of course, they voted to do it. You know, the significance of this is that the Longshoremen Union over in San Francisco in 1935, when they was actually having a strike, two of their members were shot in the back by police. In 1935, killed, and the police officer got off. You know, so you can see that they are extremely against police brutality because they have as a monument in front of their entrance door to the Union Hall, those two bodies, or silhouettes of those bodies on the ground, with the caption that police brutality must stop. You know, and so they were adamant in doing something. But this is to me what is real significant about this. You know, and I'll talk about the date that he put on here, the initial date. But what's real significant about this is that they want Jack and myself to also go to Long Beach and talk to the unions there. I'm not sure if you're hearing what's happening here, but the gateway to the West Coast is through those docks.
That's right.
You hear what I'm saying? That's major.
That's right.
That is major. So they're talking about organizing a protest strike prior to the verdict being issued, showing our solidarity in the community as well as the labor workers and unions, that we do not want this man to walk out of there with a slap on the wrist.
That's right.
So, that, you know, that's all good. The date, actually, since the verdict date has been changed to November 5th, we're looking at doing it the latter part of October. Jack, myself, we'll meet with Jack and them, and we're going to start organizing. At least really get a specific date pinned down so that we can begin to organize a major rally protest, and that have to be even a strike. We'll be going down to Long Beach, and also get the coalition in L.A., as well as Long Beach unions and all them actually be involved in this. And it's that's powerful, you know. So it just goes to show that everyone is has raised this issue of police brutality and is looking at some way and somehow sending a message to the system, because that's what we're fighting, that this needs to stop. You know, we met with Burrs this week also. One of the things, you know, Minister Muhammad talked a little bit about the Justice Department and the process of them getting involved. You know, what's scary with me with that is that the letters that were sent to the Justice Department really included Tony Caroni and Mesley. And everything is right now sitting on the instance, the instance of what will happen to Mesley when the verdict comes out. So if the verdict, say, is 10 years, right, the Department of Justice may not take or find reason to really investigate and bring charges against him because they feel that the sentencing is sufficient. But what happens with that is that Tony Caroni slips through the cracks.
That's right.
And that's what we don't want. You know what I'm saying? Because he was the main one that caused them young men's civil rights to be violated in the way that he acted out on that platform. He was using racial epithets, and we could go on. You know, there's ideas we need to push around and seeing if we can separate these two so that the Justice Department should really look at Tony and his own stance and what he did, as well as Mesley, in case he don't get the 10 years and a slap on the wrist and they pick that up. So I don't see these two cases, myself really, hopefully, not being tied together. You know, so there are some things that we'll be talking about and how to make this thing work where they both stand on their own. One of the other things that I'd like to thank Sister Trey for helping me is that we're going to do a letter writing campaign. You know, and so we talk about kids writing, talking about the pain, the injustice, the system, and how they felt with the verdict. You know, and it could be a few other selected topics. But the main thing is that we want these letters coming from the community, not just here in the North Bay, L.A., across the United States, to be sent to Judge Perry, and we have to identify the probation department, whether it be Alameda County or Los Angeles. But anyway, they're going to go to both. Of course, Hoppy's going to go to Rainey's himself. But we want to send a message to Judge Perry about how the community feels about this sentencing aspect of this case. No one is looking for him to be able to go home that night after sentencing and sip some coffee and get another job at a police force somewhere else. You know, so it's really important that he sees the significance of that. You know, so it's our hope and belief that just letter writing campaign, it'll just be another form of us utilizing our voice, not just the adults, but the kids, everyone that has been affected. You know, so this is a great opportunity. But Teray, can you come up, please? Yeah. She's been working with me, and you know, just with a part of the community that we haven't really tapped into in beginning to get the message out about this letter writing campaign and how we're going to do it. And we talked about an idea, because some people may not want to send their letter directly to the judge. You know what I'm saying? So we got a post office box that those that are, you know, have hesitancy about sending it to the judge can send it to that post office box. But a lot of these also, we plan to hand carry to the judge ourselves. This was John's idea, that we take bulks there to make sure it's hand delivered, that he received. This way you don't have to worry about buying certified, you know what I'm saying, certified form and spending all this money. You know, just write the letter, put it in a simple envelope. You know, I'm sure for those that are in the mosque, Minister Muhammad, grab those. Those that know the address can actually send it to the address, and we'll be checking the box and pulling those out, putting them together. But anyway, I'm going to let Sister Teray share the information on the post office box.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Excuse my attire. We just had a club meeting, so I apologize.
You know what? I got to shut up for the club meeting today, huh?
Work that out. Okay. I went to the Hayward post office box today to put a P.O. box in the name of Oscar Grant, but because of the situation and because he's deceased, we're not able to use his name, all this legal mumbo-jumbo. So what I did was I put it under my club name, which is Ascending Sisters Social Club, and you would send it in care of Justice for Oscar Grant. The P.O. box is 3453. Hayward, California, 94540. I will be going down there along with the family checking the P.O. box. And I, like he stated, I know some people were leery on sending their addresses and information to courthouses because of the situation. We don't know what the police or whoever might do with it. So going to the P.O. box, if you don't want to put your return address on there, you don't have to, but there will be a... once we get the rallies and everything going, we will have envelopes already stamped with the address on it. Just stick your letter in it, and then you can send it.
Can you repeat the P.O. box?
The P.O. box is for Ascending Sisters Social Club, care of Justice Will Oscar Grant, P.O. box 3453, Hayward, California, 94540.
I'm not hearing you,
hear me?
Clearly. Speak up on the name as well.
Okay, I'll spell it out for you. It's Please. Ascending, A-S-C-E-N-D-I-N-G. You still can't hear me?
Camera's not hearing me, that's what I'm saying. Speak up.
See what I mean? I'm trying.
Okay.
Okay, A-S-C-E-N-D-I-N-G.
Okay,
Sisters, Social Club, Care of Justice for Oscar Grant. P.O. Box 3453, Hayward, California, 94540. Got that?
Yeah.
Pick it up? Does anybody have any questions or concerns or anything?
What's the date? When do we
want
to get this
done? It's open. It got open today. So whenever you're ready to get it done, it's going to get done. I'm also going to be handing out the... address on Facebook and getting it to the motorcycle community. There is a real big barbecue that's going to be on August 21st in Hayward, and we will be handing out the envelopes and everything now.
So the letter should be addressed to Jeff Perry to the post office?
To Judge Perry. To Judge Perry, right. And we don't have the L.A. court address for him right at this moment. John is actually getting all that info. But, you know, you can basically just in that letter address the issues that that you know we're having issues with, and that is the sentencing and the verdict. You know, the verdict of involuntary manslaughter should have never came down. You know, and again, as a family, we definitely is not in agreement with that. You know, but it is what it is. And one of the things we can say is that the door has been opened. You know, we have cracked that door open. That policemen can now look at the true fact that they can and will be held accountable for the murders they commit in our community. You know, and that because of Oscar, you know, we're seeing that happen immediately with the Katrina police officer. So though you may slip the state, you know, it's our hope that the feds come back and get you a civil rights violation. You know, and so, you know, it's like it's not no double jeopardy. You know what I'm saying? Clearly different laws that apply. And so, you know, that in itself is great. Thank you, Quinn. So, I mean, as you can see, you know, there's been, you know, we've been organized, been doing much, you know, all year round. There's more and other people in our community has really taken issue to this sentence and the things that have occurred in this case and are looking at being a part of, you know, and so, you know, just major with the union in itself is just so, so powerful to me, you know. I don't know if there was one other thing I did want to say, but I can't remember exactly what it is at this moment. Anyhow, again, I just want to thank everyone, you know, that continuously come to these town hall meetings. I'd like to thank Teray and, you know, people like herself that are taking up to be on a mission also to bring in other parts of the community that need to be involved. This is big, you know, and this is important in that all across the United States, I don't know if you're aware of this, they have what you call visions of Oscar Grant.
That's right.
Yeah. All across the United States. And so as we begin to connect with these people, you know, we can have a day that's going to be just tremendous across the United States. So, it is our hope.
Once you get a copy of that, Dr. Long Sherman's, you know, I would give me something on that, and I'll go from the Teamsters to get a letter of support from the Teamsters.
Okay. That's right. Right.
Okay.
Okay. We'll do that. Okay, so anyway, I guess that's it for me. I'm going to go ahead and go on home. I'm tired. It's kind of wore out. Just beat. But, you know, thank you, Mrs. Muhammad.
As our brother Bobby is stating, the calls for justice are coming up all over the country. And we should know that the murder of Oscar is not a standalone event. It comes in the context of the history of a people that have suffered this for hundreds of years. And so when we find communities waking up all over the place, they had a Justice for Oscar Grant rally down in San Diego while we were in L.A. I got one that came back from South Carolina. Of course, the Los Angeles Coalition for Justice for Oscar Grant has been superb in their activity. In fact, some of them said when they saw the Mezzoli rally, you all want us to come up there? And so you've got people that are joining in the demand for justice all over the country. Our task is to organize for the demand of justice in our area, in this case, the whole state of California. As goes California, so goes the country. And so a few days ago, the governor actually signed into law the BART oversight review process that was authorized or submitted by Assemblymember Sondre Swanson. Well, that bill went through quickly, but what helped facilitate it going through quickly was surely the concern that if they come up here with another 40 busloads of people demanding justice for Oscar Grant, how do we answer this? But I answered that by passing through without much debate Assembly Bill 1586. And while we know it's not a perfect bill, we're clear on that, it is also a bill that would not exist were it not for the organized demand made by the people here in the Bay Area. So give yourself a big hand. We're not done yet, because the state still does not have a future prepared for you and for me. And we should just know that, that if our people are going to enjoy a bright future, it's going to be because we lift up our heads and pick up our hands and do something for ourselves. And what the state should do is get out of our way and facilitate what our needs are. That's really what we should hope for from the government, that it facilitates what our needs are. But we know in the state of California, it facilitates nothing. It kicks us out of school. It throws us into its prisons. It finds no place for us in her economy. Well, we are simply stating that we recognize the gross injustices that are happening around us. Last week in San Francisco, the Bayview Hunters Point community has been crying out to be relieved of toxic poisons for months, for years now. These folks went in and had a meeting and came out of that meeting voting the same after facts were laid in front of them as they did before they had any facts at all in the matter. You know, sometimes juries do that. Doesn't matter what the facts are, the decision is already made. When the jury decided in the murder of Oscar Grant, it was clear to us that their decision was made before they went into the deliberation, because they came out with a ready-made for television cookie-cutter decision. Okay, involuntary manslaughter. They went right through second-degree murder. Went right over voluntary manslaughter, apparently in the twinkling of an eye, over issues that are very complex in nature. There's really no way they could have debated those issues and arrived at consensus, which had to be unanimous, so quickly. Well, that's simply to say that when the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco took on the issue of toxic poisoning, their decision was made before they heard the facts. So on Thursday, the San Francisco Examiner actually covered the cover story that what's in Bayview is a toxic mess. They're talking about building parks on top of toxic mess. They're more concerned about how building would affect the salamander than they are about how the toxic mess will impact the people. I saw a letter from the renowned artist Guapale. Did I say her name right? Is that how you say it? Something about my dreams?
Closer.
Okay. Closer to my dreams. Okay. She wrote a letter. And in her remarks, in her letter, she was offended, as she should be, and we all are, that they, with the way they are proposing to sentence Johannes Mezeli, that he could serve less time than Michael Vick was made to serve for fighting dogs. So that the value of the life of those dogs, when sentencing in this matter is concerned, can make a demonstration that the system is declaring that the pit bull that's injured is more valuable than the black man that's dead. So we want to be real clear that our demand for justice is an ongoing one. It's not one that's going away. And quite frankly, the people, our people, are waiting for those that would stand and accept clear roles in leadership for the people. When the expert came out on toxic poisoning and met with the county supervisors there in San Francisco, she came out of the meeting and said, "I've never been so impressed by a people's ignorance." In other words, the elected officials were just that dumb. Now, no offense if you're an elected official, but what happened there is no different than we see here. So when we began debating at BART over the issues of justice, it became clear that some of the BART directors were just that dumb. I went to a mayoral candidate forum the other night, and I left thinking, my goodness. I didn't know you could be mayor and be just that dumb. Mr. Parada didn't show up for the debate because he believes that the voters are just that dumb and that they'll vote for him on name recognition, even though most recently his name is recognized for being fully corrupt. The man's been bribed. They had to drive him out of government because he's on the take, and everything you see being built around here is connected to the developers who have financed the efforts of Mr. Don Parada. Well, he doesn't show up for the debates. And those that do sometimes don't seem to have much of a grasp on many of the issues. Some are very entertaining. And that's good if you're a comedian, but it may not fit and does not fit when you're trying to raise up a city. We need a movement. We need a movement that determines what the leadership of our people will be. In fact, you begin and we begin to demonstrate signs of life when we become more self-determined. There's a difference between a patient that's laying with oxygen attached to their nose and some devices to keep their heart beating, and they're being kept alive by mechanical devices. But when you meet someone that really wants to live, some will get right up out of those mechanical devices, pull those cables off their chest, get up and breathe without the mechanical devices, because the desire to live will bring us up out of the stupor that we're in. We can't lay around waiting on the government to pump some oxygen into our lungs. Get up and breathe. Get up and breathe, and we can secure justice for ourselves. And so we'll be planning. We're in various cities in the town hall meetings continuing our plans to encourage our people to life. My pastor and brother wants to make an announcement about a special meeting for next Saturday.
Next Saturday. 10 a.m. in the morning.
This is Reverend Williams. Saturday at 10 a.m.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
I I really wanted to hold this meeting here at 10 o'clock in the morning, but I hadn't got in touch with the pastor yet. We've taken this to Humanity Baptist Church next Saturday at 10 a.m. in the morning. Okay? And we'd like for them that can to come. Them that will, if you don't want a job or don't need one, to help support someone else. I'll like for you if you stop by if you can.
Yes.
Okay? Some things we talked about today, I'd like for you to help me. You know, we can work this out. There's over 600 jobs coming down to the Port of Oakland. And you know how it was with the 880 Cypress Freeway, that people's come from all over everywhere to work down in West Oakland there, and very few blacks work down there. So we don't want this to happen at the Port of Oakland with those 600 jobs coming in. If we have the people in a database and have them all together and we know who they are and the name and address and phone number, where we can bring them all together at the time that we have to show up for these jobs, we can bring these people together. Because we have to go there in numbers to get these jobs. We have to let the companies that over the 600 jobs down there in the Port of America, and they in different cities. It's them in Maritime and the Port of Oakland. Well, we're going to have a whole meeting with all of those people down there representing these people, you know, that need these jobs, you know. So that's going to be 10 o'clock next Saturday at Humanity Baptist Church. That's the 54th in Gaskell here in Oklahoma. God bless you.
God bless you, sir. Thank you.
54th and what?
If I can just, before we close, I'm sure that many of you have heard in the media as of today about a horrific shooting incident near the Fruitvale BART station involving OPD as well as BART police. Approximately 8:30 this morning, a police call, according to what we're hearing, led to a chase out of the Fruitvale BART station across East 14th to 33rd and East 16th Street. That a young man, Latino, his name hasn't been released yet, taking his age to be between 30 and 40 years old, was chased by the BART police to this particular location on the street. After an exchange that included arguments, and we did speak with some of the neighbors that heard the shouting and the arguments, one neighbor described what he heard as the gunfire that sounded like a pack of firecrackers, meaning that many shots that were fired. The victim of the shooting, who's yet to be named, to my knowledge, had no gun. And the early reports declared that they claimed that he had knives. However, this shooting incident poses many questions. He was shot, they claimed, by five police officers after first tasing him twice, according to reports. The reports are a little sketchy right now. We admittedly do not have all of the facts, but we're anxiously in search of them. Our counsel to those in government is to very quickly investigate the facts. For the inconsistent reports are already stirring up the anger of a community. So for it to be said in one report that OPD officers shot the young man and not BART officers. And then another report, BART officers shot the young man, and many of us don't believe BART officers deserve to carry weapons. And then to say that he was tased twice. Now, I sat through weeks of testimony in the case of the murder of Oscar Grant and learned quite a bit about a taser. And even if this young man did not surrender completely under the effect of two tasing efforts. They could have tased him three times. According to witnesses, he was not in a threatening distance from law enforcement officers. In other words, if he in fact had a knife. And I've yet to hear from a witness that claimed that he had one. Witnesses that witnessed the scene shortly after the shooting that I came into contact with did not see any knives. If he were in contact with police, his distance between himself and those officers were at least the distance between myself and, say, where Brother Tony is. We were told 10 to 20 feet off at the time that he was shot. A knife in his hand at 20 feet is not a material threat to an officer with a bulletproof vest and a gun in his hand. I do not know how many times he was struck, but I learned in the case that the officer's training says, don't point the muzzle of your gun at any target you do not intend to destroy. And if you put your finger on the trigger, you're intending to destroy that target. Well, this young man lost his life today. Some question has been given as to what did he say. Some say he appeared to be somewhat insane and said to the police, shoot me. Well, let's say he did say shoot me. Does that warrant the police officer?
No.
Does that give them probable cause to shoot somebody?
No.
Last I checked, while Ronald Reagan was president, they cut out many of the social services that would have provided service for the mentally less capable. So there are many on the street that may say, shoot me, out of moments and fits of rage or insanity. That does not authorize the law enforcement officer to shoot a man that is not a material threat. So we are hopeful that with all the agencies involved, that there will be a complete investigation. But again, we're not the type that will sit back in hope. We'll go to those that have authority and demand that the proper investigation be done so we can discover whether or not law enforcement officers acted rightly or improperly in the shooting of this young man. The number of bullets held at him was tremendous. There are houses over there right now with bullet holes in them. There are automobiles of neighbors right now with bullet holes in them. And of course, there's a dead young man who, from what we know, like all of us, deserves to live. So we do not know, again, in detail, as the reports have yet to be given in detail. But be careful when you read or hear or watch the public news. The story has shifted repeatedly. In the short span, since 8:30 this morning, I don't believe they began reporting until about noon this afternoon. And from noon until now, the storyline has shifted. We are well aware here of shifting storylines. From I thought he had a gun to I was trying to use my taser. We're very clear of shifting law enforcement storylines. So again, this matter requires an in-depth investigation. On Monday, there are those that are preparing to organize themselves for the community response or for a community response to the Meserly rally. I don't know where to tell you where to get the details on it, but Tony, is there a website or something that says where to go, who to contact?
This is the Facebook, yeah, Facebook. It is on.
Go to the
search in Facebook itself, it will come up.
Go to the Oscar Grant Justice page, Facebook sites, to get details for those that are going to Walnut Creek. We may, organize a response, not in Walnut Creek, but right here at home.
That's right.
Once we hear what is said and see how it goes, there may be a community response to the foolishness that's being prepared by law enforcement officers that are in, it's called LEO, law enforcement officers, in support of Johannes Mezeli.
Yes.
So that is to, this debacle is supposed to happen on Monday. Again, just be aware, be alert, be vigilant, and should we choose to make an official response on Monday, then just keep your emails and Facebooks alerted, and we'll let you know when that time comes. So if there's not any special announcements, questions, any special announcements, questions?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I was going to add, maybe not everybody's on Facebook, but I mean everybody and my mama.
Twitter.
Got Facebook, too. It's on Indie Bay also.
IndieBay.org.
Yeah, the counter protest information.
IndieBay.org, Facebook, Twitter, Reginald James, and others that are involved in these social forums. Many of these forums were developed just to respond to these kinds of cases. And again, you can see the hand of our enemy that has promoted this little rally from the day it began. The day they put it up on Facebook with three people going, it's in the Oakland Tribune.
It's been on the news.
It's been on the television news.
The Contra Costa Times.
They're doing their best to find those that are willing really to fight with justice. But you know something? You can't fight with justice. Justice always wins. Now, I don't know, I can't speak for the Judge Perry. He don't always win. But justice will always win. So those that literally are taking the position to fight with justice, just as justice will always win, those that fight with justice will always lose. And so we're in the right place. It's the right time. God willing, we'll be back next Saturday with more updates in our pursuit of justice, our follow-ups on the Department of Justice, and how we can engage the Department of Justice locally here from the city of Oakland. We may host a town hall meeting to be broadcast to introduce all of those that suffered and what they suffered the night Oscar was killed through the city of Oakland's channel, and produce that town hall out of City Hall so the whole city can see and experience what happened in the murder of Oscar Grant and in the abuse of his friends and family that were aboard the train on that night. That becomes a record for the Department of Justice. We're asking the City Council to draft a resolution to demand, along with the Mayor and Congressperson Lee, the engagement of the Department of Justice. Then, if necessary, we will go to the Department of Justice to follow the case through to its ultimate conclusion. I don't think we have 5 years to wait as was waited in Hurricane Katrina. I don't think we got that long to wait. Not when, before the dust settles, a BART cop, five of them, shoot and kill another man in the Fruitvale area, running from the Fruitvale BART station. Yeah, I don't think we had that kind of time. I think the pursuit of justice in this matter must be swift. And so, family, thank you all for your time and for your attention. Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Hold that paper up, Brother Tony, please. There's some post newspaper. Also, open the fire.
We got the special post cover there. The peaceful protest.
I will be for you.
So make sure you get your copy on the way out and support the Black Press. Family, thank you all for your time and attention. We'll be back next week, 4 o'clock, for the town hall. But keep your emails, alerts ready for what may happen on Monday in a way of community response. So may God bless and keep you. Pastor, would you close us out? Please receive our host pastor, the Reverend Gordon Humphrey.
Square hands. There are two of them. Passed in Oakland this week. Willie Smith, who served at Pilgrim Rest, went to San Diego, and of course we lost Bishop Walter Hawkins. So I'm just going to ask everybody, if I know, I'm sure everybody, most folks have the news by now, but let's pray for that, specifically for Love Center. And then, you know that they're heartbroken this week, but pray for those families, all right? Let's pray. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for our family. Thank you for the leadership who has guided us during this hour. Thank you for the pursuit that we're on. Give us the grace and the wisdom that we need to be successful in the pursuit of the justice that we know that you have for our community. Yes, so let us be transformed people and the community because of what we share. Mm-hmm. To that end, that we pray and everyone say it.
Amen. 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 Praise God.